Look in Luke, the 11th chapter, please. Luke chapter 11. And also we're looking in Matthew 6. We've been on a series for a few weeks now that we're calling Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. And I really can see that the Lord's answering that prayer. I'm learning. I'm growing in it. Huh? Dave said he was, so me and Dave are. Huh? And Kim said, yeah, her too. This is really, really important. And we're going to talk about it some more today, but if you don't pray, there'll just be a lot of things you won't get. You won't know. You won't see it. You won't be aware of it. You won't have it. You won't be ready for it. And there's nothing that will take the place of it. In Luke 11 in verse 1, it came to pass Jesus was in a certain place praying. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Sir, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Everybody said out loud, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they had been around him enough to see him pray and hear him pray. And even though they had grown up, many of them grew up around a Jewish synagogue and had knew something about prayer, yet watching him pray and hearing him pray, they were moved to this question or this request, Lord, teach us to pray. What does that mean? Teach us to pray like you pray. Because they saw something different in the way he prayed, and they saw results. They saw answers. They saw results. Teach us to pray. You'll hear people say, well, I have a lot of faith in prayer. But that may mean something and it may not. There are millions of people that pray to false gods. And so it's not just praying, but it's praying a prayer that God can answer. Something that'll make a difference. And when they asked this, he went on to give them what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. But if you look at Matthew's account, go there to Matthew chapter 6. This is Matthew's account of this same happening. The first thing he told them was what not to do. When they said, teach us to pray, he started out by saying, verse 5, Matthew 6, 5. When you pray, everybody say, when you pray. Notice it's not if you pray, right? Yes. When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, the people seeing them pray is all they will ever get out of that praying. God wasn't involved in it. So there's a lot of praying that is religious and God's not even involved in it. He said, don't do that. So we must not be thinking of others seeing and hearing us when we're praying. You see sometimes people are trying to talk to people over God's shoulder. You know what I mean by that? Because they know they're saying they're praying to God, but they're really conscious of people hearing what they're saying. That's not praying to God. If you're going to talk to the people, talk to people. If you're going to talk to God, talk to Him. And don't try to do both at the same time. He goes on to say, keep reading, he said, verse 6, but you, when you pray, everybody say, when you pray. When you pray. You, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. There is a time for public praying and group praying. We see this in the book of Acts. But that should not be the majority of your prayer.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Hmm? You and I should pray at home, right? And we should do a lot of praying in private, just us and God, with your devices turned off. Huh? It's disrespectful that you're supposed to be talking to God and Him talking to you, and you're interrupted 30 times. Hmm? I know we live in that generation of chronic interruption, but we don't have to live like that. And didn't the scripture say, be still and know that I am God? You want to give Him your full attention. And He said to do that, enter in to your closet. Now this would be a private, separated place. And shut the door. This is private. And pray to your Father which is in secret. Why? Because you need to be able to talk to Him about some things you don't want anybody else hearing. And Him to be able to talk to you about some things that's not for anybody else to hear. And you need to be able to focus, give Him your full attention, and not have it split with other people involved in it at the same time. Verse 7, but when you pray. Notice He keeps using that phrase. Say it out loud, when you pray. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Like we've already said, there's a lot of people throughout the world pray. But a lot of it is absolutely useless. For what it accomplishes and what it does, they'd be better off not doing it. And so He warns us, don't pray like the heathen do. Why? They think, and they're wrong, but they think they'll be heard for the volume and the amount of their speaking. And sometimes people have the wrong idea that if we could get enough people praying, something will happen. You mean God won't hear you without other people saying it too? No, God will hear you. Just you. And if 10,000 people are praying a wrong direction, the multitude of prayers is not going to fix a wrong prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with us having corporate faith and corporate prayer. We've talked about that. But a large crowd and a bunch of people praying does not assure success. Depends on what they're praying, who they're praying to, based on what, and if it's in faith, etc. Now, He goes on to say, don't be like them, verse 8. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven. Now, this prayer is not something to be chanted over and over and over again. He just got through saying, don't do that. So what should we do with this prayer? This is answering their question. They said, teach us to pray. And He is saying, this is how I pray. These are the areas I focus on. Jesus, when I pray. You start off by honoring and reverencing the Father. My Father, who is in heaven. And you'll notice the word heaven more than once in this, making you aware, like we've said before, of the connection between heaven and earth and the interactions between heaven and earth. Hallowed be your name. What's the very first thing after you show respect and reverence to the Father? Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is one of the main reasons to pray. One of the first and foremost, the priority focus, what? His will. His kingdom. Now, if everything that's happening is His will already, you don't need to pray this. But the fact is, so many things God wants to happen in the earth are not happening. And a lot of things that are happening in the earth are absolutely not God's will and grievous to Him. But, like the psalmist said, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to the children of men. He gave it to us. And so the difference between Him interfering with what He gave to us or Him intervening is the difference between somebody asking Him to or no one asking Him to. Now this is that what I just got through saying. A lot of people don't believe it. They don't agree with it. But study the Scriptures. I did quote Scriptures.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Everybody said out loud,
Our Father.
Which art in heaven,
hallowed
be your name. See, the reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the start. It's the beginning of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. If you don't show God with some respect, you don't even get started. Should we remind ourselves every time we go to pray who we're talking to? The Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth. And said out loud,
Your kingdom come,
Your will be done
on earth
as it is in heaven. Why should we pray? We've given several answers about that. I want to repeat them. If you haven't been with us, go back and go online and look at the previous messages. It won't cost you anything. You can get caught up with us. But one reason we said Jesus prayed. We should pray. He prayed a lot. So we should pray a lot. Also, you know, Paul prayed a lot. Peter prayed a lot. The early church prayed a lot. When did that change? Secondly, Scripture tells us numerous times to pray. In everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does the Bible tell us to pray?
Yes.
And pray a lot.
Yes.
Should we do it or not?
Yes.
Also, we said, number three, things can be changed.
Yes.
Everything is not set in stone. Things can be changed. If we'll seek God, ask Him about it. Even though something was going to happen a certain way, it can be changed. A lot of things can be changed if we pray, if we ask. Number four, we said we should pray because there is so much we don't know.
Hmm?
But we need to know. We need to find out. That's why He said there in Matthew 7, He said, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek. You'll find. Knock. It'll be open to you. And that's a lot of what we should do in prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking. Then number five, we said, and we're still talking about that today, to work with heaven in the earth. We saw that with Daniel. That's what happened in his praying. And we see it in multiple situations. And that's what Jesus said when He said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. And working with heaven for God's will to be done in the earth.
Yes.
This is a big, big part of prayer. Now I want to go to something practical today about how long should you pray? Is there anything in the Scriptures about it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Huh? How long should you pray? Before I get to this, let me remind you of things we've already talked about. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's not just something you should do a little bit on Sunday or whatever. Prayer is a way you live. And it's what we do instead of worry. The world worries. The world fears. And if you just do this, put up on the screen Philippians 4 and 6. If you just do this and start practicing it, it will change your life. Be careful for nothing. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, and that's not the end, but in everything, by a prayer, King James says, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What is it saying? Don't worry, pray. Come on, say it out loud. Don't worry,
pray.
Don't be scared. Pray.
Pray.
This is what you do instead of worry. So when you're tempted to worry, help me out. Huh? Put it in the prayer gear. Is that right? When you're tempted to, you find yourself, something has upset you, something has bothered you. I'm upset about this election stuff, so turn the news off and pray. Pray about it. Well, my kids are not acting right. Huh? Do what?
Pray.
And not just endless, vain repetition. Oh, please, God. Oh, please, God. Oh, please. He said, don't do that. That's like heathen pray. Don't do that. Well, what am I going to do? That's what we're talking about right now. Teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. We pray the word. We pray in faith. And one of the big things that we should discipline ourselves to is not just decide what my child needs to do. I want the will of God. Oh, come on, help me out. What I want is the will of God. And I'm not going to presume that I know all about what that is. But I'm going to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done. That's what we want in my life and in their life on this earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, show me how to pray that, and thank God for praying in the Spirit. Because you say, Lord, help me to pray what is the will of God. And spend some time doing that. And you know, the Bible said that in Luke 6, Jesus went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If there was anybody that knew enough, had enough faith, was close enough to the Father that they didn't need to pray, it would be Jesus. Is that right? Why did he need to pray all night long on that occasion? Well, if you read the next verse, verse 13, Luke 6, 13, when it was day, he called to him his disciples and chose 12 whom he named apostles. He was getting direction about who were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They had hundreds and thousands of people following him and a lot of good people. How does he pick? How many? Who? Where? This is something that lasts for eternity. The names of these individuals are in the foundation of heaven. Have to get it right. Is that right? Huh? Got to get it right. He got it right. Where did he get it? How did he know? Somebody said, well, he's God. He's not operating as God. The Bible said he emptied himself and became like other men, which is why he needed to pray. When you need to know something, what do? Pray. Somebody said, well, I prayed and I still don't know. Yeah, what, 10 minutes? Whoop-de-doo. Get back in there and pray till you find out. How long? How long? Well, do you know what to do? Well, then you're not done. Right? The Bible says continue in prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says pray without ceasing. Now notice the scripture in Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 37. This is when Jesus, right before he was going to the cross. And in Mark 14, 37, he comes and finds them sleeping and says, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed the same words. Now, this is one of the first things we looked at when we started the series, and we asked the question, could it have turned out differently with them if they had prayed? They all ran away from the Lord when it started going down. And that's what he was telling them. Yeah, your spirit's willing, but you're not as ready as you think you are. This is going to be tougher than you think. So what? What do I do to make a difference? Pray. Pray. Be alert, watch, and pray. Now, other translations bring it out like this. The New Living says that he said to Peter, Simon, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Another one says, do you not have strength to watch with me a single hour? Jesus is not saying that it was some great feat to pray an hour. He was saying this would be not unreasonable. Why couldn't you do it for at least an hour? A single hour. We need mind renewal. I said we need mind renewal. Praying an hour is not a great spiritual feat. It's something that should be a common part of life. That went over big, didn't it? Huh? Now, I know that most people don't pray. Hardly at all. I know that. But it's a big problem, and that's why we're talking about it.
Yes.
But you can.
Yes.
I said you can. Uh-huh. To act like praying an hour is this giant spiritual accomplishment. What's prayer? It's communing with God.
Right.
Huh? You wouldn't bless your spouse if you said, man, I was able to talk to them for a solid hour. Whew. I made it. You want a star? A ribbon? What? Do you understand what I'm saying? It just shows how carnal most folks are. And it's not like people are not focusing on something for hours at a time. People got no problem plopping down in front of the TV. Right? 3, 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. And to say that you can't pray an hour? Nah, it's no priority at all to you. You don't care about it. And it's not just, that you would do it for somebody else. We're talking about helping yourself, brother. Helping yourself, sister.
Yes.
And the enemy is in this realm, and he's always trying to distract you and get you off into all kind of things. And one of the last things he wants you doing is sitting down with God and giving him your full attention for an hour or two. He will do anything he can to keep you from doing that. Why? Because you keep doing that, you will hear from God. You will get things. You will get direction. Yes. You will get help. You will find out what's going on.
Yes. Wow. Praise
God. Now go with me to Acts, the third chapter. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts 3 and 1. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the what? 5 minutes of prayer. Huh? At the 15 minutes. No, at the what?
Hour.
Hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And this would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And going up to pray, the implication is you're going to pray for an hour, at least. The hour, somebody say the hour of prayer. Say it again, the hour of prayer. This, in the 10th chapter, if you just go straight there, there's a lot could be said about that. But in the 10th chapter, and if you want to get more out of this, take some time today or tomorrow, whenever, and read this entire 10th chapter carefully. There's a lot here about prayer. But in this 10th chapter of Acts, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and did what? Prayed to God all the time. He's a praying man. He's a soldier. He's a commander. Now, here's a big mistake a lot of folks make. They think, well, you know, I work in the world. I do this, I do that. I hadn't got time to pray all the time. You know, I'm not a prayer. Well, every believer is supposed to be a prayer. Every believer. And you can pray a lot, regardless of what else your job is involved, if you will. And if you're smart, you will pray. It'll help you with your job. So he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour. Ninth hour. You find that come up more than once. That is apparently the hour when our master died on the cross, was the ninth hour. And I don't know if there's a correlation between that or not. I just noticed it. And but that was what they, you know, they practiced that daily, I guess, hour of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. And he saw in a vision the ninth hour, which was the hour of prayer mentioned in the previous chapter, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius, keep going, next verse. When he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? He said, your prayers, everybody say your prayers. Your prayers and your alms. Now, his alms is his giving to people in need. Your prayers and your giving are come up for a memorial before God. An interesting read in the book of Revelation is how God has saved the prayers of his people. And you can see them in heaven. They look like incense. And a lot of prayers that have not been answered yet will be. Hallelujah. Yes. God has saved them. Yeah. And I guess some of them for generations. Yeah. And when everything is going to be fulfilled, the angels are going to bring those out. Yeah. And they're going to be released. Yeah. And they're going to be answered and completed and fulfilled. You know, if a prayer wasn't answered for 1,000 years with the Lord, that's like a day. Right. He's like, I'll get that tomorrow. Now, that's too long for us down here, but God knows. He does it right. Keep reading. Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, again, Cornelius is not a prophet. He's not a pastor. He's not a preacher. He's a commander in the Roman army. He leads a group of 100 men. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He's been in battles. You don't get promoted to where he is by being slouchy and not being a good fighter or not following orders.
Right.
And yet, he's a very spiritual man. And a man that God is using in this chapter, you see, to change the whole world.
Yes.
Using his prayers. And what you'll see in reading this chapter is God's ways. How he does things and how he implements and reveals and accomplishes his will in heaven into the earth. He does it with the prayers and faith and obedience of his people. That's how he does it. That's his ways. So, keep reading. Verse 5, he said, "Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter." Now, as far as we know, Cornelius doesn't know Peter at all. He didn't know anything about this. We can't assume that he did. The angel's having to tell him. And even told him the address where he was at. This is word of knowledge. He said he's staying with Simon a tanner. His house is by the seaside. And he'll tell you what you ought to do. Well now, this is an answer to prayer. Cornelius has had something on his heart. He's walking in the light that he has, but he just knows there's more. There's more. He doesn't know about Jesus. He didn't know about being born again. But you spend time with God, he's going to let you know things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this man prays a lot. And he knows, "God, what is it we need? Send us what we need." He didn't know he needed Peter to come preach to him. He just knew he needed something. We need something. Lord, help us. And the Lord sent an angel, showed up in his house, and said, "Cornelius, God's heard your prayers. Your prayers and your giving has come up before God at the throne. And he has sent me to tell you what to do." Woo-hoo! Now, let's just back up. This has happened as a result of what?
Praying.
Him praying. Would it have happened anyway if he hadn't prayed? I'm not saying the thing that ultimately happened wouldn't have happened, but God would have had to use somebody else that would have prayed and believed and obeyed. Keep reading. Verse 7, let's just go right down through here. "The angel which spoke to Cornelius when he departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier." Now this is one of the 100 soldiers that's under him, but he's also a believer. And he sends them. They waited on him continually. Verse 8, "When he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." And this, if I understand, is about a 14-hour walk maybe. You know. So, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to do what?
Pray.
To watch TV. Now, I'm not saying you can't watch any TV, but if that's all you do and you never pray, you'll never have these kind of things.
Yeah, that's right.
As they went on their journey, drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And you'll notice that this thing winds up again at the ninth hour. Which means he's up there praying in this experience about 3 hours. So how long should you pray? The hour of prayer? 3 hours of prayer? Jesus prayed all night? How about you just pray? Huh? Just get started, right? And do it more than a couple of minutes and get to the point where you're not just watching the clock, right? And you can get focused on communing with him and you can look up and go, "Oh man, it's been an hour and a half." That's a good indication. Hallelujah. That you're really doing some good praying and communing with God. Keep reading. He became very hungry. And what you'll notice is both of these men were fasting and praying when this happened. And the reason they were is because they were looking for something. Come on, do you hear this? Ask, it'll be given to you. What else? Seek. See, Cornelius was seeking something. And fasting, you're not going to change God by fasting. But what's fasting do? You're focused. You're after something. It's more important to you than eating right now. And it helps you to not be, you know, distracted by anything else. And it's just demonstrating, you know, I want this. I'm after this. And so he was fasting, which is why he got real hungry. And he's praying. Keep reading. Became very hungry. Back it up. He would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance while he was praying. Everybody say praying, praying, praying. And what you'll see in this passage is a connection of prayers, of Cornelius' prayers and Peter's prayers. The Lord connected them, even though I don't know that they knew each other at all. While they made ready, he fell into a trance. Keep going. He saw heaven opened, a certain vessel descending to him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things. And there came a... Back up. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Keep going. Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Next verse. The voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." There couldn't be a more perfect illustration, because the Lord is revealing to him what he wants to happen for Cornelius and all those like him. They didn't preach the gospel to anybody except the Jews, Jewish people. And nobody had a thought of doing anything else ever. For millennia, they had been taught that you didn't mix with the other people and the other nations and the other groups. We're talking earth-changing, future-changing things. Come on, can you see this? And how did it come about? Praying. And then getting to God answering the prayer and showing them things. Keep going. What God has cleansed, don't call common. Verse 16, this was done three times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now, Peter doubted, or he was thinking about what this vision that he should see that means. He's sitting there thinking, what in the world? What in the world? He doesn't know what this means. Behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and were at the gate just as his vision finished. Now, they didn't waste time trying to find him. They found him without Google, without GPS. Huh? Because they had HPS, Holy Spirit. Position. Right? They knew where to go. They knew who to ask for. Next thing you know, they're at the gate there. And back it up. Verse 17. They said, the men that were sent to Cornelius, they made inquire. They said, "We're looking for Simon Peter. We hear he's staying here at this house." And verse 18. They called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Asked for him by name. Keep going. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Keep going. Get up and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Is this hearing from God? Can we hear from God like this today, church? Can we? Is it possible to get revelation like this? Huh? Life changing. Church changing. People reaching. Revelation and happenings. Is it possible to have it today? You're supposed to have it today. Is it possible to have it without prayer? Would they have had this anyway if they hadn't prayed? Why does the Bible keep bringing the prayer part up? I've sent them. Keep going. Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius. He said, behold, I'm who you're looking for. Why have you come? Now you'll see throughout this whole thing, Peter's still scratching his head as to what's going on here. Because everybody knew, you don't mix with the Gentiles. Millennia of previous generations know this from the law of Moses, etc., etc., on and on. This is not even something he's considering. He's still trying to figure out what this meant. And they said, why have you come? So, keep going. They said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God, good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned by God, by a holy angel, to send for you to come to his house and to hear words of you. If you look at the next chapter, it said, words whereby you and your house will be saved. Ooh. Keep going. He called them in and lodged them, because you got to remember, they've been traveling for almost 2 days. And so they come in, they spend the night. And on the morrow, Peter went with them, but he took half a dozen brethren with him as witnesses to see what's going on. And on the morrow, when they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsfolk and his near friends. So they're all sitting there waiting for him to come. Keep going. When Peter was come, Cornelius met him, came out of his house, came to meet him, and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter, keep going. Peter took him up and said, stand up. I also am a man. Keep going. He talked with him and went in and found many were coming. He walked into the house, places packed. Gentiles. This ain't no synagogue. These are not Jewish people. Gentiles. He's not even supposed to be in there. But here he is. Keep going. He said, you know, this is the biggest thing that's on his mind right now. It's an unlawful thing for a man who's a Jew like me to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me. See, he's had a night and a day to think about it and look at it. God has showed me I should not call any man common or unclean. Friend, do you know how big this is? How big this is of the gospel breaking out to go to every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every people. And where do you trace it back to? Cornelius prayed. And Peter prayed. And God heard their prayers. Oh, come on, can you see this? Keep going. Therefore, I came to you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. And so now, why'd you send for me? Now, you're laughing, but he's struggling with this. He still hadn't got it, you know. He's like, okay, I came. I said hi. But they're Gentiles. He's dealing with thousands of years of stuff here. And keep going. Cornelius said, well, 4 days ago, I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, I was praying. I was praying. I was praying. I was praying in my house. I was praying. Now, if prayer wasn't a big part of this, it wouldn't be mentioned repeatedly in the passage, it wouldn't have been mentioned. But it keeps being referred to. I prayed in my house and a man all at once was right there in the house with me in bright clothes. Angel. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard. You remember that's what the angel said to Daniel? I have come because of your words. Would the angel have come anyway if he hadn't prayed? There's every indication he would not have. Your prayer is heard. Your alms are had in the remembrance in the sight of God. Keep going. Keep going. So send to Joppa and call here to come here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside. He will come to you and speak to you. Did you get that part? He will speak to you. He will speak to you. Immediately, I sent for you. And you have well done. In other words, we're happy that you have come. Now, we're all here, present before God, to hear. Because he said you would talk to us. To hear all the things that are commanded to you of God. We're here. We're ready. Got our notepads? Keep reading. Peter opened his mouth and said, well, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. He's finally got it. I am here to preach the gospel to these Gentiles. What's going to happen when you get back home? I can't think about that right now. And so he opened his mouth. Come on, keep reading. I want to read the rest of this. In every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. I perceive it. I see it. And I want you to know the word that God, and he takes off preaching now. The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Keep going. That word I say, you know, that was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We're witnesses of all these things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew. They killed him. They hung him on the cross. They hung him on the tree. But him God has raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen from before of God, even to us. We saw him after he was raised from the dead. We ate with him. We drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to all the people and to testify that he that's ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And at this point, they have heard enough to get saved. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, can you see this? They've heard Jesus. They've heard the cross. They've heard the resurrection. They've heard faith in his name and remission of sins. And verse 44, when Peter spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. Oh, hallelujah. We got Acts 2:4 all over again. And it's not Jewish people. Woo, help, Lord. And they of the circumcision, the good thing he took those half a dozen guys with him, you know. These are Jewish brethren. They're standing there with their mouth open going, they could hardly believe it. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now think, if this had never happened, would you and I have heard the gospel? Would it have come to us? Would it have been sent to us? If you can't trace your Jewish heritage back to Abraham? Because somebody prayed. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 Just lift your hands up and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Said out loud, Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We don't know who's in the house. Altar workers, go ahead and come to the front. We don't know who's watching online or who's in the house in Sarasota. But everybody say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord of my life. I receive all you have done for me. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Now, he didn't just save us to do nothing. He saved us to serve and to make a difference in this world. And part of that difference is praying. So say it again, everybody. Say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Thank you for teaching me how to pray, where to pray, when to pray, how long to pray, and to get the kind of results that we see in your word, in the book of Acts, and other places. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.